I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope you're having a fantastic Friday. And today, September 10th, is International Suicide Prevention Day. So for the first part of the show, we're going to be speaking with, I thought it was someone from the Vancouver Crisis Center, but Dami, are you from SAFER?
I am. I'm from SAFER, which is Suicide Attempt Follow-Up Education and Research, and we're part of Vancouver Coastal Health. We work with the issue of suicide.
Okay. So Dami, on World Suicide Prevention Day, I'd imagine you're trying to get the word out about how we can prevent suicide. So first of all, what are some of the warning signs that people who may be suicidal need to look out for, as well as people who care about them need to be aware of?
Well, certainly some of the things that we see associated with suicide very powerfully are feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, isolation. They're often linked to depression. We know that 1 in 5 Canadians will experience a depression at some stage of the game in their life. And so certainly feelings of powerlessness, purposelessness, hopelessness, helplessness, feeling anxious, feeling trapped. If someone is concerned about someone, some of the things that might be twigging their concern would be that they might notice a person talking about or making jokes about suicide. They might notice somebody withdrawing. They might see them using more alcohol or other kinds of drugs than they would normally. They might see really angry or really sad responses, really significant mood changes, people not sleeping well, people not eating well, those kinds of things.
And so now some people think, okay, well, it's everyone goes through this. People have thoughts of suicide. It's just part of the human condition. It's normal. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I would say that certainly many, many people have thoughts of suicide at some time in their life. And so, yes, I would say it's part of the human condition. I think what's really important is that we don't know for sure who's going to actually act on those thoughts and who is not. And so very much like we know that with heart disease, any number of people are susceptible and we don't know who we can save necessarily and who we can't, so we reach out to everyone. It's very important that when we're concerned about someone who may be thinking about suicide, that we reach out to them and provide them with the support we need. It's really difficult to measure something that you're preventing. We actually, that's a real challenging thing to do. And so what becomes really key is to reach out to anyone that we're concerned about. Because one of the things that we do know is it makes an enormous difference to help people move forward out of isolation, to talk about the problems or the issues or the pain that they're experiencing, and to try them to link them with help and support.
And so, Dami, now what if an individual is having, say, occasional thoughts of suicide? I mean, isn't that a warning sign that maybe they should reach out to a counselor or a doctor?
Absolutely, absolutely. And certainly at SAFER and with the Crisis Center and with any number of other agencies that work with people, having occasional thoughts of suicide certainly means there's something going on, there's something up. Whether or not the person has intent to act on them, I would still, in any case, encourage them to talk with someone because there's something going on that's needing attention, that's needing to be looked at, that's needing to be sorted through or resolved.
Okay. And so what are some of the things that you would recommend if someone is concerned that their friend or loved one might be depressed or perhaps suicidal? What are some of the steps that we can take to offer them support?
Well, I think the very first thing that needs to happen is if you're concerned about someone, you need to create a time where it's safe and comfortable to sit down with them and talk about it. That often doesn't happen because we are afraid to intrude, or we're concerned that we might say the wrong thing, or we don't feel comfortable reaching out. But I think that one of the things that's really key, and it's why World Suicide Prevention Day events happen, we're trying to reduce the stigma. We're trying to bring everybody to a place where they understand that it's okay to ask. It's okay to sit down and directly say, you know, I've been noticing that you've been really low, really down. You've been talking about feeling really hopeless and helpless. I know things aren't going well for you. It seems to me that you're really depressed. I wonder, you know, someone in this kind of situation might sometimes think about suicide. I wonder if that's happening for you. So we really encourage people to be able to take an opportunity as quickly as they can with someone they care about to sit down and have a conversation with them and ask directly about suicide. And if they're really unable to do that, that they try and connect that person with someone who could ask them.
Okay, so I noticed that sometimes people don't want to say the word suicide or kill yourself. They want to say, oh, you're not going to do anything stupid, are you?
Well, and that's an interesting thing. I mean, think about how you would respond to that. In my life, the only time I've ever realized that things were stupid was in hindsight. And so I think the reality is that people probably wouldn't respond to that by saying, well, yes, actually, I'm thinking about doing something stupid. And so what really needs to happen is that we need to be able to use the word suicide. It's a little bit like years ago, people couldn't say the word cancer. They talked about the big C. And that really added to the stigma of cancer, that it was so frightening that people couldn't even say the word. And so part of, again, the job of events like World Suicide Prevention Day is to help us come to the place where we can say the words to talk about the issue directly. Because if I can say, are you feeling suicidal? Are you thinking about suicide? What I'm communicating to the person that I'm talking to is that it's okay for us to talk about this. This word is not so scary that either of us have to run away from it. What's really important is that we need to open up a conversation about it.
And so if someone isn't comfortable, or even, okay, so let's say you ask your friend, are you thinking about suicide? And they say yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Well, I think the first thing you do is you say, okay, let's talk about this a little bit more, because it's really important that we get you some help with this. So let's explore this person a little more, and you do that by listening. One of the things that we know from people that are suicidal is they will often say, I just really want to talk about what's going on for me. I need someone just to listen to what's happening. And so listening is really, really important. And then looking at what things would need to be in place to keep this person safe. How do I connect them up with help? Are they in an immediate crisis? In which case, do we need to connect with a physician, with the hospital emergency room? Do we need to call 911? Or is this a place where we would encourage them to connect with an agency like us, SAFER, here in Vancouver, or with the Vancouver Crisis Center, or with someone who's in a position to help them begin to look at the things that are making them feel suicidal and work on them? So I think the issues are to ask, to listen, to help the person know that there's help available, and to do your best to link them with that help and to work to keep them safe in the interim if you think they're at imminent risk.
Wonderful. And so keeping them safe, do you mean like staying with them or calling the hospital?
Not to leave them by themselves. Just as an example, for instance, if I had a friend who was talking about suicide, and in the course of our discussion, she said to me, I often think about jumping from a height, and I know that she lives on the 20th floor of an apartment. Keeping her safe would probably mean strategizing around other places she might stay for a little while until she settled a bit. So keeping safe means looking at what are the kinds of things that are lethal. And how do we make access to lethal risk more difficult?
Okay, and so now this is a lot for people to remember. So the first place that they can contact if they're feeling suicidal or they're worried about someone who might be suicidal is to call you or the crisis center?
Call the crisis center, because the crisis center has 24-hour crisis support. That number is 1-800-SUICIDE or 1-800-784-2433. And that means you connect with a volunteer at any hour of the day or night to talk to you if you're feeling suicidal, or to help you figure out what to do for someone that you're concerned about. We're actually a counseling program, so we're a Monday to Friday 8:30 to 4:30 program for people who are actually in a place where they're wanting to work through and sort out the things that are causing them so much difficulty and making them feel suicidal. We also provide support to individuals who are concerned about someone who is suicidal, or for people who've been bereaved by a suicide death. And our number here at SAFER is 604-675-3985. And I'm having challenges remembering that number because we just moved last week.
Okay, wonderful. So again, 604-675-3985.
And the number of the Vancouver Crisis Center, 24-hour crisis support, is 1-800-SUICIDE, 1-800-784-2433.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so there are also some events going on today around Suicide Prevention Day?
There are. There's actually quite an amazing event that's going to be happening in front of the Vancouver Art Gallery today between 12 and 1 o'clock. There will be a ceremony of remembrance for people who have lost someone to suicide that will include people bringing new or gently used shoes in honor of someone that they've lost to suicide. Those shoes will be placed on the art gallery steps to provide a visual representation of loss. And when the event is over, they're going to be donated to the Lookout Society for distribution to people in need. There will be speakers, including the Vancouver Coroner and Jude Platzer of the Josh Platzer Society, who lost her son to suicide some years ago and started a society to prevent teen suicide. There will be a candle lighting ceremony. I'll be speaking both as the coordinator of SAFER and the incoming president for the Canadian Association of Suicide Prevention. There'll be booths and information there about what people can do to prevent suicide, to respond to someone who's suicidal. So it'll be an interesting one-hour ceremony from noon to 1 o'clock in front of the Vancouver Art Gallery. And we really hope lots of people come, because communities are ultimately what prevent suicide, and we need to pull people together.
And, Demi, I just want to point out, SAFER is a free counseling service, correct?
It is, yep.
Okay.
It's a free counseling service that's part of Vancouver Coastal Health. The downside, I suppose, of SAFER is we're Vancouver-based, and so we don't see people from outside the Lower Mainland. But when people get in touch with us from places where we're not able to service them, we do our very best to try and link them with services in their area that they could access.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Demi. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I know that this educating the public about the risks of suicide and how to intervene and reach out is really going to make a difference.
Thank you. And I have to say, I really appreciate your interviewing me, because the media can play such an important role in pulling communities together, in reducing stigma and helping people know that it's okay to ask about suicide, it's important to listen, and that we can all learn things that we can do to support people who we have concerns for.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Demi. Again, the number for SAFER is 675-3985. That's 675-3985. And the number for the Vancouver Crisis Center all across BC, I believe, is 1-800-SUICIDE. Thank you so much, Demi.
Thank you.
Be well. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. So again, that was Demi from SAFER, and that is the suicide, I don't know the acronym for what it is, but that is where you can get free counseling if you are feeling suicidal, if you are concerned about someone who is suicidal, or if you have lost someone to suicide. That also puts people at a greater risk for having suicidal feelings themselves. So if suicide is an issue in your personal life or with someone that you know, please do reach out and get help. 1-800-SUICIDE here in British Columbia. And if you are listening online and you're somewhere else, you can certainly find, I know that every major city has some kind of crisis intervention hotline. So please do look that up. It's usually in the front pages of your telephone book if you don't know where that's located. So we're waiting for Joan to show up. I know the SkyTrain, if you're in Vancouver, there's been some electrical problems with the SkyTrain. Lots of delays and lots of traffic delays happening. It took me an hour to get here today. It usually doesn't take more than 20 or 30 minutes. So hopefully Joan will make it, but I'm going to play a song in the meantime. But first, here's a message from the Beauty Night Society.
Strength.
Dignity.
Respect.
Beauty.
Self-worth.
Safety.
Confidence.
Choice.
Hope.
The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day of Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help.
Beauty Night,
because dignity is beautiful. I think I was blind
before I met you. Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening online at citr.ca, empowerradio.com, cosmicdimensions.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. So thank you for being with us wherever you are. I also, we were talking about World Suicide Prevention Day, and the number for the Vancouver Crisis Center, this is a province-wide number, is 1-800-SUICIDE. And there is also a website that the Crisis Center has specifically for youth. I think anyone under like 29 or 30 years old is considered a youth for this service. And the website is called youthinbc.com. Anyone can check it out. There's lots of information, articles, signs of suicide, things like that. So if you have questions about suicide, you can go to www.youthinbc.com. But the great thing about this site is that there's also a one-on-one chat that is open, I think, from noon until midnight, but don't quote me. Definitely look at the hours on youthinbc.com. And within those hours, a youth can connect with a live volunteer and chat, so they can do like MSN Messenger kind of deal. And so they don't actually have to pick up the phone and talk to someone, because I know these days a lot of teens aren't really that into using the phone anymore. They are online. So if you have someone who you're concerned about, you can also send them to youthinbc.com. But definitely the Crisis Center, if you have more questions about suicide, the risks of suicide, warning signs, and all of that, you can go to 1-800-SUICIDE or crisiscenter.bc.ca has a lot of information if you want to get more involved with the Crisis Center. So we're waiting for Joan still, and I know that she's stuck somewhere in traffic, so hopefully she'll get here in time, or we may have to do a phone interview with her. That's fine. But I'm going to play a song in the meantime, and this is Baird Hirsi and Prana with Krishna Das, and it's their number one track, Om Narayani, here on Synchronicity.
Om Narayani, Om Narayani. Thank you. Krishna, Krishna.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with us today. So Joan Cabaloo has arrived, and we are going to speak with her in just a moment. We'll be back with more Synchronicity and two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with us today. And again, today, September 10th, is World Suicide Prevention Day. We spoke with Dami from Safer earlier on in the show, and she gave out the number for the 1-800-SUICIDE. If you're concerned about suicide, then you can call 1-800-SUICIDE and speak with someone there. And Safer is the counseling agency that offers free counseling within Vancouver for people who are dealing with suicidal feelings or have suffered a loss from suicide. So today we are now joined by Joan Cabaloo, and we're going to speak about postpartum depression. And I'm looking at the Pacific Postpartum Support Society, and their phone number is 604-255-7999 here in Vancouver, and their website is postpartum.org. And I'm just reading off their website. Postpartum depression is often characterized by despondency, emotional instability, anger, guilt, tearfulness, worrying, anxious thoughts or images, feelings of inadequacy, and the inability to cope. And it may occur shortly after the arrival of a new baby or many months later. And for some women, symptoms may begin in pregnancy. And it's also something that can happen when a woman adopts a new baby, which I never realized. I mean, I thought it was mostly caused by the hormones, but Joan, what has your experience been?
It started in the spring of 06. So my son was born in December, and I mostly had panic attacks. I had anxiety and panic attacks. I had a little bit of that, and what I found is I called my public health nurse, who a week after I had my son had come to visit us at the home. So I called her up, and I just told her, I'm like, I really don't feel something is right with me. I can't pinpoint what it is, but she was really helpful. She gave me a lot of resources, one of them being the Pacific Postpartum Support Society. So what I did is I called them up, and they were pretty much my lifeline for the next year. I had a telephone support volunteer call me weekly, and that would be my chance to vent, but to also share with her some milestones that were happening and some joys and trials of motherhood that I was having. But they were really helpful. They're fully trained. They're mothers themselves, so they've had a lot of experience. And I always looked forward to the call. It was like a friend calling in to check up on you. So they had really helped me overcome my postpartum depression.
Nice. And so on the website, I'm mm-hmm. seeing that it can happen within like 3 years. So you could have a three-year-old
right.
and still be getting postpartum.
Right, right.
Wow.
They say a lot of women have it, but they don't know they have it. They just feel like they're just getting frustrated or anxious all the time. So, the best thing to do is to call. Well, I called my public health nurse, but you can definitely check out the website or give them a call. They're a nonprofit society. They're a great organization full of women that care and have been there. And, you know, I always looked forward to the call. It was just, you know, she was my saving grace. I always looked forward to Wednesdays.
So, Joan, in addition to the phone support, I mean, getting a phone call from someone who's been there, who knows what you're dealing with every week, I mean, that's an awesome service.
Right.
And I'm guessing that's free?
It is.
Okay, excellent.
It is.
But were there any other treatments? Like, did you speak with your doctor and have to do anything else?
I had to go see a psychiatrist at St. Paul's. And what I had was pretty mild. So when I look back at it, at the end of the day, I just really wanted someone to talk to and to listen to. At that point in my life, my relationship with my son's father had completely deteriorated. So someone to just listen and to someone who had actually had been through what I was going through was what I really needed. So... and this book that I brought with me too, Postpartum Depression and Anxiety, a self-help guide for mothers that I had gotten from the society, really helped a lot too. It's really thorough. I even go back and read some certain parts now to help friends that, you know, are possibly going through it, or I you know, brings everything back and just helps me, you know, prepare, especially for my postnatal dance classes for women that I can see that are going through it as well.
Okay, so we were going to talk about Salsa Babies in a bit here, because Joan also teaches a class for new moms and their babies, and it's really uplifting and gets you feeling good. So let's finish our conversation about the Postpartum Society, and I see you have the book open, so you wanted to read a segment of the book?
Right. So I had a lot of anxiety and panic attacks, and I feel the best way to describe it more is if I read from the book itself, from the Self-Help Guide for Mothers from the Pacific Postpartum Support Society. So... this is, I am scared. I am having panic attacks. Some women experience anxiety attacks or panic attacks. These have been described as any of the following: a pounding, racing heart, sweating or chills, shaking, hyperventilation, a choking sensation, chest pains, and sensation of that one is going to black out, or a feeling that right at the moment one is going crazy. These sensations are very frightening when they occur, but the woman may feel that she's also going to die. When she knows what they are, in fact, panic attacks, they are easier to cope with because even though they feel like they're going on for a long time, they are generally short-lived. After a panic attack, a woman can feel quite drained.
Definitely. I had a panic attack once or twice, and I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I know what it is, if I feel one coming on, I can actually make it go away pretty quickly. But you do. You feel like you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's
at that
really
point,
freaky.
When it's happening, that's the only thing that's on your mind that really matters. And for me, I had to get my breathing back, you know, to normal and just focus on the one thing, whether it was myself or my child or just basically even breathing, right?
So you mentioned that your situation with postpartum was fairly low key, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a really bad case.
No.
But I mean, we see in the news sometimes where mothers will take their children's lives.
Right.
I mean, we can't speculate what exactly that person's going through, but generally you might assume that it could be triggered by postpartum depression, right?
Right.
So it's serious. It's not just like, oh, I'm feeling kind of low.
Yes.
I mean, it's you need to take this seriously and get help.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And don't feel afraid to get help. You're not the only one. When I had it, I was 25, and a lot of my female friends that were mothers didn't have it at all. So that's what I was scared about, that, oh no, I'm the only one. But no, it's very common. Everybody gets it, even celebrities. You know, we're all susceptible to it. Okay. But yeah, definitely get help. There's someone out there to help you. The Pacific Support Society is there to help you. You know, it's good to just be honest about what you're feeling. You know, you're not going crazy. These feelings are normal. You just had an enormous life change. So it's normal to feel, you know, all these feelings.
So it's interesting because when I looked on the website and I saw that adoptive mothers can also get postpartum. So a biological mother is dealing with all of the hormones and the physical changes to her body that happens from childbirth. But it's also, I mean, when you have a new baby, there's lack of sleep. You're constantly on the go there, especially if it's like a crying baby that cries a lot and is difficult. I mean, it's like really challenging.
Right. It's true. It's funny. When I first had him, they always said, you know what? Sleep when baby sleeps.
Yeah.
Meaning don't do any housework or, you know, just that's your time to rest. And I'm like, are you sure? How do you do that? Even I, up till now, I can't do that. It's, but you know, it's all about, nurturing yourself too, because you are taking care of another human being and you have to be healthy in order to, you know, help someone become a healthy child.
And I'd imagine being a single parent would make it even more of a challenge, because if you're supposed to be sleeping when the baby's sleeping, then somebody's got to be doing all this other stuff, or you'd have, you know.
Mm-hmm. As again, going back to the Pacific Postpartum Support Society, they were of tremendous help. And I can't speak highly of them enough.
Okay, great.
They were tremendous help. And just getting that phone call every week just totally uplifted my spirits. And after the phone call, it totally motivated me to be like, okay, so, you know, Someone's backing me up. What else can I do about my day? It totally set the tone for the day. And it also made me set some goals for myself, saying, you know, for next Wednesday, I want to be able to say I went out for a walk, or, you know, I practiced some of the nurturing tips that she had given me. So, yeah, again, the saving grace.
Awesome. Well, the website, again, is postpartum.org. And the phone number is 604-255-7999. So if there was one thing that you wanted to get across to mothers out there, new mothers, or even if your child is up to 3 years old, you could be at risk for postpartum. Mm-hmm. So what's the one most important thing that you think you need to let people know about?
About postpartum?
About being a new mother and having the potential to have postpartum depression.
It is truly such an enriching experience. And of course, it will have its lows. But it's how you get through those lows that makes the highs so rewarding and so makes you strong. And don't be afraid to, you know, if you don't want to talk to your public health nurse, maybe your mother, your mother-in-law, or a friend, you know, just actually sometimes even, you know, venting to somebody helps, you know. There's somebody out there to help you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joan. So we're going to talk about Salsa Babies coming up after the break. So this is CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with us today. So today is World Suicide Prevention Day, which is why we were talking about with Dami from Safer earlier on in the hour, and also the reason why I wanted to talk about the Postpartum Depression, Pacific Postpartum Depression Support Society. Again, their website is postpartum.org. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is because of the stories that I do sometimes hear in the news with infanticide, I think it's called, and things. I mean, any kind of depression can put you at risk for suicide or other kinds of really debilitating feelings. And that's why I wanted to share this and hopefully bring it out as a resource for people. So if you are a new mother and you think that you might be dealing with postpartum, or maybe you're noticing that a new mother in your life might be showing signs of depression, postpartum.org is the Pacific Postpartum Support Society here in Vancouver. Their phone number is 604-255-7999. And if you're concerned about someone who may be suicidal, 1-800-SUICIDE is the number to call here in British Columbia. And I believe there's also a 1-800-SUICIDE down in the States as well. But don't quote me on that. So here in BC, it's 1-800-SUICIDE. Welcome back to the show, Joan.
Hello.
Hi.
Good, good. So, you suffered from postpartum depression,
right.
And in your recovery from it,
right.
You discovered this group called Salsa Babies.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
It's a postnatal dance program for new mothers and their newborns, and the babies are in the snuggly, in the baby carrier. And we teach the moms the basics of Latin dance. So salsa, cha-cha-cha, merengue. I know, it's exciting. It gets them out of the house. It gets them moving. It gets them bonding with their newborn. You meet new moms that are on the same boat as you in terms of breastfeeding, weight struggles, you know. I found out about it just surfing the web, looking for something to do with my son that involved music, dance, and bonding with him. I wasn't really fond of the idea of just going to the gym and then putting him in childminding while I worked out. I wanted to kind of work out with him. And so I came across Salsa Babies. And so I spoke to the licensee owner out here in BC, and as we got talking, I told her about my strong background in dance, and then she just suggested that I become an instructor instead of a student, and that's how it started. The training was awesome. I met a lot of new moms as well that wanted to be instructors. I've been teaching since February 2007, and it's really such a rewarding experience. I've met a lot of great moms, and the feedback that I get from them is, I think, the most rewarding, because it really helped me with my journey through postpartum, and I know they've told me themselves that it's helped them. So it's come full circle. We've become a sisterhood. So
wonderful.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. So some of your students are giving you feedback that their postpartum is being improved,
right.
by the exercise
by the
and
exercise,
the dancing.
By dancing, by being out of the house, by being with moms. The classes are early in the morning, so it sets the tone for the day. You know, you leave feeling psyched, you know, that you want to get your to-do list, you know, over with, instead of just, you know, being at home and just, you know, staying at home with baby. It's nice to get out and socialize. And there's a social aspect too, because the last 15 minutes is geared towards, I just encourage the moms to chat with each other. And it's nice after class to see them go off and have coffee together. It really means a lot to me. I feel that that's the best way that I've healed through through dance and through, you know, teaching this to the new moms. So yeah, one of the feedbacks have been from this woman that had a baby girl last year, and she said that having a baby is such a big life change that the salsa baby classes, it helped her through what were a difficult few months. She didn't know how difficult they were going to be, but it was such a good thing for her to come every week that it was like something constant for her to look forward to. And then one mom also said it gave her the motivation to leave the house. It made her feel proud and independent, and in a place where other moms, you know, had the same issues like breastfeeding and weight struggles and you know, postpartum as well.
Wonderful. Well, do you mind closing that door? We've got people running through the station making noise, so we're closing the door now. Thanks, Joan. So, and one of the things for any kind of depression, mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not giving out medical advice here, mm-hmm. but I have heard that exercise,
right,
and dance is number one. Dance is great exercise,
it is.
But it's not just exercise. It's a form of expression of creativity.
Right.
It can be really cathartic,
right,
as well. But exercise, as far as I know, has been shown to be as effective,
right,
as antidepressant medication. And in many cases, because there are a lot of people who are not helped at all by mm-hmm. antidepressants. And they are helped by dancing and by mm-hmm. getting exercise. So it's mm-hmm. definitely, there's something to it. So let's talk about, well, so when the moms are dancing.
Right.
Because like salsa and stuff is usually like a partner dance.
Right.
So are they holding the babies or how do they do it?
The baby's in the baby carrier. So the mom is either holding onto baby or they're shaking a maraca or their hands are free.
Okay, like
but
a baby
no
carrier
partners.
Attached to, like
yes,
a snuggly
baby carrier.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The babies have to be past their 6-week checkup, and the moms too. If you've had a C-section, it could be longer, so it's always best to check with your doctor. And just wear comfortable running shoes, comfortable clothing that you're going to dance in. Bring your baby carrier, of course, and bring some water.
Fun.
Yeah. A lot of the moms have little business cards. It's really cute that they'll say, so-and-so's mom. And then the phone number, and then they network and pass it out. So I found that a really cute idea. But it's so rewarding to see a mom come for the first time, really timid and shy, not really know what's going on. And after a couple of classes, you can see her open up. You can see that she's taken a little bit more time in the morning to, you know, put some makeup on or just look more presentable. So I like seeing those changes. And especially after class too, everyone feels so great. You know, just after dancing, everyone, who doesn't feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dancing is so fun. Okay, so my next question, uh-huh. I can like dance, you know, at a club and just freestyle, whatever. And it's, you know, it's not super embarrassing, mm-hmm. but I go to a dance class and if I have to learn steps, I literally 9 times out of 10 will leave in tears. I find it frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't I can pick up steps, but I don't pick them up as quickly as mm-hmm. the rest of the class. Mm-hmm. So I find it really frustrating.
Yeah.
So how much like choreography is mm-hmm. there in the Salsa Babies?
In the class, we do a warm up and then we stretch. And then I go over the merengue, the cha-cha-cha, and the salsa. I stress to them that this is for fun. So we're not auditioning for, you know, so you think you can dance or anything like that. So we go over the steps. I make it really fun and enjoyable for them. It's a hard question to answer. But okay. It's something that just, it comes over time. I say to them steps. Learning the steps are secondary. Just have fun and just enjoy this time with your baby while they're so tiny.
Yeah.
While they can fit in your arms.
Aww.
Yeah. So a lot of them say to me after class, "So I'm so sorry I messed up and stuff." But then I ask them, "Did you have fun?" And they go, "Yes." Well, That's all that counts.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And so what's the website for Salsa Babies?
The Salsa Babies website for here is under the branch runnersandbootiesfitness.com.
Okay.
And I teach every Wednesdays at 9:30 to 10:30 at Brentwood Mall in Burnaby. We're right outside the London Drugs in the upper level. So we're dancing out in the open at that time. There's not a lot of people in the mall.
Right in the mall. Mm-hmm. Wow. Fun.
You know what? I feel it's the best place because especially that mall is such a baby-friendly mall. They've got a parenting room. They've got parent and grandparent parking. They've got an indoor playground. Zeller's, I believe, is open at 8 a.m. So there's some moms that come to class at 9:30. They've already gone shopping. But, you know, when you have a baby, you have to sort of start consolidating your trips. So moms come to class at the mall. And they get a workout. They can also do some banking. They can do some shopping. They can catch, you know, a coffee with one of the moms that had just taken class too. It really makes sense, and moms are consumers.
Nice.
You know, a lot of them. I barely see moms like after class go straight home. They're usually got to grab something at London Drugs or diapers, you know, or even something to eat. They're already there. So that's what a lot of them say to me. We're already here.
Yeah, may as well.
Might as well shop.
So it's good for the mall too.
Yes, it is.
So again, it's Wednesday mornings.
Wednesday mornings, 9:30 to 10:30. At Brentwood Mall in Burnaby.
Brentwood Mall in Burnaby. Mm-hmm. And there's a SkyTrain station now.
Yeah, I know. If you take the Millennium Line, you get off at Brentwood.
Perfect.
Right there.
Great. And you're above the London Drugs?
We're in front of the London Drugs.
In front of the London Drugs.
Yeah.
On the second floor. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the price of taking class?
It is free.
Really?
It is sponsored by the mall. I know.
Wow.
Yes, I know. I know. It's sponsored by the mall. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
Yeah.
So now everyone's going to want to go. So what is the... So you have to have... The baby has to be at least 6 weeks
yes.
old. And you should definitely make sure that you're healthy enough because after a baby it can...
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if you've had a C-section.
C-section. Mm-hmm. So definitely speak with your doctor.
Mm-hmm. By that time anyway, you would have gone for your 6-week checkup.
Okay.
So mention that, you know, that you wanted to start salsa.
Salsa babies. And so, oh man, I wish it was every day, only Wednesdays now. Okay, but what about the upper, like what's the age limit for the child to do salsa babies?
It usually depends on the mother because, you know, every child is different. So, you know, some moms step when they can't carry the baby and they won't even fit in the baby carrier anymore. They're like, okay, I think we're done. Okay. And it's sad to see when a mom tells me this is going to be, you know, one of my last classes because I have to return to work or baby won't fit anymore because I've gotten to know them over the months and to see the baby grow and to see the mom grow too is such a rewarding experience. But yeah, so when they've outgrown that, there is also salsa tots.
Oh.
So for kids that have, that are crawlers or, you know, for up to, I think, around 4 to 5 years of age.
Oh, great. And is that at the mall, too?
That is at the mall. That's from 11 to 11:30.
Okay, it's so both on Wednesdays.
Yeah, it's only for 30 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long is the Salsa Babies class?
It's an hour.
An hour, okay. Mm-hmm. So Salsa Babies is an hour. Salsa Tots mm-hmm. is 30 minutes.
Salsa Babies, 9:30 to 10:30. Salsa Tots, 11 to 11:30.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you here.
Well,
and
thank you for having
Joan
me.
And I went to broadcasting school together.
We did.
And I haven't seen her since we graduated. So, yay. So good to see you. Well, thank you for being on the show. And again, the website?
runnersandbootiesfitness.com.
Okay. And Brentwood Mall in Burnaby, mm-hmm. Wednesday mornings, 9:30. And it's free. That's
yes.
so awesome.
I know. It
Fantastic.
Is.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I believe Scotty's Scenic Drive is up next. I want to put out the phone number again for the Postpartum Support Society. It's 604-255-6255. 7999 if you are a new mother and want some more information about support dealing with postpartum depression. 604-255-7999 and the Vancouver Crisis Center if you would like to speak with someone, if you have questions about suicide, if you're feeling suicidal or you're concerned that someone you care about might be. The number to call is 1-800-SUICIDE. Be well. Thank you so much for listening. I'll speak with you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Rude boys, don't cry. Don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.